Welcome to episode 441 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. For most of his childhood and early adulthood, Jesus lived in Nazareth, a village near Galilee. Archaeological excavations have revealed that Nazareth in Jesus' time consisted of 50 or so homes spread over 6 acres, with perhaps 2 or 3 clans living in them. Archaeologists have uncovered remains of winemaking basins, watchtowers, irrigation channels, and terraces from that historical period. Nazareth was about an hour's walk from Zippori, or Sepphoris as it was called back then, a fairly large commercial center visited by Greeks, Romans, and people from all over the Middle East. Although there is no mention of Sepphoris in the Bible, it is likely that Jesus visited it. Some think it is the city on a hill mentioned in Matthew 5, verse 14. Every town and village needed builders to help build and maintain homes. Chief among the builders was the stonemason. Stonemasons were common in those days because stone was abundant. Wood was more rare and quite valuable in that culture. Many things that are typically built with wood today were built then with stone. Along with the stonemason was a carpenter, whose work for the home included helping to build and maintain the roof and making the doors, lintels, shelves, tables, and cabinets. Only the rich could afford paneled rooms and woodwork, which were considered opulent. For use outside the home, carpenters made ladders, wheels, yokes for the animals, and farm implements, or at least the handles. It is believed that Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, was a carpenter because of verses found in both Matthew and Mark, in which people from Jesus' hometown asked the question, derisively, "Isn't this the carpenter's son?" The word translated carpenter could be more generally translated builder or craftsman, and it is possible that Joseph could have worked with both wood and stone. During the first century, Sepphoris was developing at a rapid rate under the reign of Herod Antipas, and would eventually be called the jewel of all Galilee by Jewish historian Josephus. Herod's massive beautification project in Sepphoris would have required the help of every available and skilled craftsman in the surrounding area, likely including Joseph and maybe even Jesus. Halfway between Nazareth and Sepphoris was an enormous rock quarry. Regardless of whether Jesus himself worked there, he likely visited the ancient quarry and would have seen the stones being cut by stonemasons, perhaps even by his own father. And if Joseph were a stonemason, it is likely that Jesus also worked with stones. To think of Jesus as a craftsman, a builder, perhaps working with both stone and wood, and perhaps more with the former than with the latter, might help us understand why Jesus spoke so often of stone. Building houses on rock foundations, building the church on the rock, building stone towers, millstones around necks, giving children stones to eat instead of bread, the rejected stone becoming the chief cornerstone, not one stone being left upon another when the temple was destroyed, and stones crying out. On the other hand, he does not speak of wood even once. This would be odd for someone who worked with wood for the better part of 2 decades. Jesus' known family members included his mother Mary, his father Joseph, and his siblings. Jesus' brothers are mentioned in several Bible verses. The Bible tells us that Jesus had 4 brothers, James, Joseph or Joseph, Simon, and Jude or Judas. The Bible also tells us that Jesus had sisters, but they are not named or numbered. It is likely that Jesus' brothers also spent some time working with him and their father in the craftsman business. Jesus is a Greek form of Joshua, meaning Savior, but it was a pretty common name. Many Jewish boys in Jesus' day were named after the man God chose to lead Israel after Moses died, the man God used to claim and establish the lands of his people. Archaeologists have discovered the tombs of more than 70 men with the name Jesus from around the time of the Lord's crucifixion. There seems to be at least 7 Marys in the New Testament. Jesus had 2 disciples named James. Jesus' father, Joseph, was likely named after Joseph, the son of Jacob, and one of the heroes of Genesis. These were common names, and they were ordinary people, and those who knew them did not think of them as extraordinary. Jesus' first miracle came at the prompting of his mother, Mary, at an event likely attended by all his siblings. Thereafter, he transitioned from an obscure tradesman into an itinerant preacher, a rabbi with a following of disciples, a healer, and a miracle worker. Everywhere Jesus went, crowds swelled around him until there was no room. But the more his fame increased, the more the Pharisees and other religious leaders of the day began to turn against him. In Mark 3, Jesus and his newly appointed disciples entered a home, and so many people followed that Jesus couldn't even eat. It must have been hard for Mary and Jesus' brothers to understand why Jesus would be drawing such huge crowds but upsetting religious authority figures. If he were truly the Messiah, wouldn't the Pharisees be the first to know? So they decided they needed to step in. Mark 3 verse 21. When his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him away. "He's out of his mind," they said. Similarly, the teachers of the law said he was possessed. The people who knew Jesus best and the people who supposedly knew God the best were completely taken by surprise when Jesus began his ministry. Who did Jesus think he was? His family stood outside and sent someone to fetch him. The crowd told him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you." Likely adding to the confusion, Jesus says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And goes on to say that whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother. Since ancient times, builders have used cornerstones in their construction projects. A cornerstone was the principal stone, usually placed at the corner of an edifice to guide the workers in their course. The cornerstone was usually one of the largest, the most solid, and the most carefully constructed of any in the edifice. The Bible describes Jesus as the cornerstone upon which his church would be built. He is foundational. Once the cornerstone was set, it became the basis for determining every measurement in the remaining construction. Everything was aligned to it. As the cornerstone of the building of the spiritual church, Jesus is our standard of measure and alignment. Unfortunately, not everyone aligns with the cornerstone. Some accept Christ, some reject him. Jesus, from his days as a builder, would have been familiar with the notion of stones that would be used in construction and stones that would be cast away. In speaking of himself in a parable, Jesus quoted Psalm 118 verse 22 and described himself as the stone the builders rejected. He was the rock of ages, the rock of provision, still is. Those who encountered him could receive him or reject him. When news of the Messiah's arrival came to the Magi in the east, they determined to bring him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But when that same news came to King Herod in Jerusalem, his response was to attempt to kill him. Jesus' family, his neighbors, and the religious leaders could have received this stone. Rather, at first, many chose to reject that stone. And that stone cast aside became the chief cornerstone of the eventual eternal church. Some did come around to receiving the stone, but many did not. Father, may we not be like those who rejected the chief cornerstone. We build our lives on Christ, the solid rock. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.